This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds. And find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19. Available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are here, and it's time to dissect everything from a betting lens. Welcome to another NHL Action Network collaboration. Shout out to our friends over at Bet365. Nick Alberga joined alongside Pete Jensen. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, what's up, Nick? Yeah, definitely go to Bet365 for all your betting needs this postseason. And really excited to talk some underdogs here, right? There's always some wacky stuff that happens in the first round of the playoffs. Couple of lopsided matchups on paper here. You can never count anybody out in the playoffs.
I think your favorite Netflix series of all time was Tiger King because you love your exotics. And we're going to get to those with our guy, Michael Leboff from the Action Network. What's going on, Leboff?
Yeah, not too much, guys. Pretty excited to get this party started here on Saturday. I think, like you said, there's a lot of good betting angles to attack these opening round playoff series. Even if you don't like a particular side on the series line, I think there's a lot we could dig into to set you up with a fun, you know, sweat portfolio before game one for between the Islanders and Canes on Saturday evening.
So, guys, this is not me trolling. I actually feel this way. I think the Islanders are a really difficult opponent for the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they're going to try to bore them to death. I think goaltending is going to be huge in that series. Can Freddie Anderson stay healthy? Can he be effective? Power play, special teams. Leboff, why don't we start there? Like, how's that futures ticket looking on the Islanders?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think they'll be difficult. The question you're asking yourself about the Islanders is have they bridged the gap between them and the Hurricanes enough to justify a bet on them at plus 275. I think you'd lean more towards the Islanders than with the Hurricanes. Instead of betting the series price, though, I think that betting the Islanders on a game to game basis would work out here. They're plus 188 for game one. I think that price is absolutely worth a shot, especially since game one usually has plenty of variance. Like you said, the Islanders have that defensive profile is back. They're much stingier under Patrick Waugh. Semyon Varlamov has been terrific in goal. Right away, that makes you much more difficult to beat. And I think the thing that a lot of folks will overlook with the Islanders is just the marginal improvements that they've seen from a couple of individuals. Anders Lee, Pierre Engvall, Kyle McClain joining that fourth line has made it made them a four-line team again. And that's hugely important against a Hurricanes team that just comes at you in waves. So as long as Noah Dobson is healthy, I do think that the Islanders will be a tough out. Obviously, the Hurricanes are much more likely to win the series than the Islanders. But I think you're right. Like, I think that this is not going to be a straightforward battle between two teams. It looked like it could be. Like, a month ago, if you asked me this question, I think I would say, yeah, these odds probably could be wider. But the Islanders have improved at the right time, and the goaltending absolutely gives them a puncher's chance here. So I definitely don't disagree with you there. And I think that if you do think the Islanders can get through the series, you're starting to think about, okay, if I like them here, do I actually like them to go on a run? And the numbers are still long on them to do that. So I wouldn't argue, and maybe I'm biased because I am an Islander fan, but I wouldn't argue with anyone saying that they're going to be their favorite long shot to come out of the Eastern Conference or either conference, I should say.
And it's very different circumstances compared to last postseason when the teams met, right? Like, Svechnikov is healthy. They have Gensel, Kuznetsov. The Islanders gave them fits last year, lost the series in six games. I thought they deserved a little bit better last year, but now the new wrinkle, of course, is Varlamov starting potentially over Sorokin because he's been as hot as anybody, and the hot goalie can do wonders for any underdog in the postseason, so don't discount the ceiling of Varlamov. He took them deep in the playoffs before Sorokin was even on the roster in 2020. Don't forget about that.
I think it's funny. Like, the Islanders, I think, are an improved team since last year, but the Hurricanes have kind of improved in the same exact fashion. So, like, both teams have gotten better since they last faced off. So it's have the Islanders bridge that gap. I don't know. We'll find out. But I think that on a game-to-game basis, it's hard to imagine the Hurricanes, you know, just running over them in a sweep. So I think that if you're right on the Islanders a few times and this thing goes six or seven, you can make a decent profit by just looking to back the Islanders on a game-by-game basis.
It's tough to handicap this year's field. Like, is there a definitive favorite like in your perspective, in your opinion? Because to me, like you asked me 2 months ago, it's the Florida Panthers, everybody else. But I think they've come back to the field, and I can't remember a Stanley Cup playoffs where I entered thinking like I have no clue who's going to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't think that there is one. And we talked about this in the beginning of the season, right? We said like this feels like a Kentucky Derby more than an NHL regular season, because there were, you know, 10, 12, 14 teams that had legitimate chances to have this type of season where they'd break away from the pack and establish themselves as a Stanley Cup favorite. And no one really did that. I think a lot of people are questioning why the Rangers aren't the Stanley Cup favorite if they won the President's Trophy. But there's a lot that we can go into there with their 5-on-5 play, but also their path, right? Like they win and the Hurricanes win, they're going to be underdogs in that series, even with home ice advantage. I think most bookmakers have it right. I would make the Hurricanes the favorite to come out of the East as we stand right now. And I would make the Dallas Stars a very slight favorite to come out of the West. But this is one kind of playoff betting board that I think is wholly unique. I don't think I can remember a time where it's looked like this, like we've seen with the Lightning, the Avalanche, last year with the Bruins, where we had that clear established favorite. We go back even further with teams like the Blackhawks, and it's not that right now. So it's a pretty cool time to be a hockey fan, and definitely someone who likes to have a flutter on these games.
Leboff, I know you always look at the number of games to determine the series. Are you gravitating towards Rangers and Capitals in either a sweep or a 5-game series? Seems like either of those scenarios could be pretty likely, very lopsided on paper, as the Capitals try to manage that series from behind. You know they're going to fall behind. You know they don't have the scoring pop to contend with the Rangers for that entire series, we think, at least.
Yeah, I think the Capitals are trickier than these odds will imply. So one thing you always have to remember about Stanley Cup playoffs is, and it sounds so obvious to say, but it's something that gets overlooked every season, especially by handicappers, especially by people who rely more on like betting models and projection systems. This is the same team playing the same team over and over and over again. Like it, and so it's not like the Rangers are going to go play the Capitals one night, then they're going to go play the Senators, and they're going to go play the Predators. Like they're playing the Capitals over and over and over again. And that style of hockey that the Capitals play, it's predicated on one thing, and that's being hard to beat. So if you're playing that opponent over and over and over again, there's a chance that like the Capitals are able to really just sink their clamps into this matchup. I do think that the Rangers end up winning it, and there might be some really lopsided score lines. Like we could see the Rangers storm the Capitals 7-1 in more than one game in this series, right? Like the Capitals have lost a bunch of games by pretty crooked numbers this season, but they've also been really good at one goal games. So I think that when you look at the profile of Washington, like this is a team that is just going to hang around and hang around. They'll be physical. They're going to do everything they can to keep the Rangers off the power play. And if they are able to keep that game, keep the majority of these games from going off script, like they're not a terrible look in the same fashion as the Islanders, right? They're plus 195 in game one. I don't think that's a bad bet considering the goaltending and their defensive acumen. I need to make sure that guys like Rasmus Sandin and Nick Jensen are good to go before I start thinking about backing them to pull the upset. But this Capitals team is they're people are calling them a fraud and pointing to that goal differential. But this isn't a team that finished first in the division or second in the division, right? They got the eighth spot. That's not by definition like a good or a great hockey team. That's a team that got into the last playoff position in the league. So it's not fair, I think, to call them a fraud. You can say certainly that they're closer to average than good. But if you are able to play the way they do and execute that style, you become hard to beat. And all of a sudden, a bounce here or there, and you could be ahead in a series and force the Rangers into a really, you know, kind of hot under the collar situation. And who knows how they'll react to that. So I don't think I'm going to be looking to back this to be a short series at all. I think I'm actually looking at the other way. I think that Washington is going to be able to make this into a slugfest here, and because there's only one way that they've been playing, it's only one way they can win, and man, they've been doing it for 2 months now.
I like that game to go six, or that series to go six games. I probably like the New York Rangers, the Lindgren family reunion. Don't forget about that, Charlie Lindgren. I like the under number in that series. It's probably going to open up at 5.5. In fact, I think it has, but I would look at that the way Lindgren has been playing. I think in general, like, it's a copycat league. I think you can translate that over to the betting world too. Last year, I see this polarizing team in the Florida Panthers. Is there somebody that sticks out for you? And, you know, who knows? Maybe it's a Washington, maybe it's an Islanders that's really not in the periphery to go far this year, but you think has a legitimate shot.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the East it'd be the Islanders, because there's really only two real outsiders, right? You'd be choosing between the Islanders and Capitals, and I would say the Islanders, even with the tougher first-round matchup in my eyes, end up as that team that has the potential to catch a Florida Panthers-type headwind. The Western Conference is a different story. I think you can absolutely make a case for a team like Nashville. I mean, honestly, even I know the odds don't suggest it, but a team like Vancouver right now too, I feel they're going to be disrespected. I know those two teams will be playing each other, but I think a lot of people are going to be picking Nashville as their upset pick. We saw this with the Jets last year against the Vegas Golden Knights. I was one of them. I was like, this Winnipeg team has a great chance to win the series, and they can go deep with their goaltending, etc. And I think a lot of people are going to build that same narrative with Nashville. And while it's true, I think that could end up discounting and discrediting Vancouver. So that's another team I think most people aren't talking about or circling for a deep run that absolutely has a chance to do it.
And Nashville plus 125 to beat the Canucks. I feel like that's a really evenly matched series. If Nashville wins that series, who do you like most to either lead it in goals or lead it in points? I mean, there's Josi, there's Forsberg, there's a lot. There's a sleeper that Jay Kahn mentioned on our fantasy show, Gus Nyquist, who's kind of attached at the hip of those guys and could catch people by surprise too.
Yeah, Nyquist is a really good shout in terms of like those player props to lead that series in goals or points. So I would agree with Jake there. Josi, I think I'd much rather just bet him to win the Conn Smythe than anything just on a series by series basis. I think that he's just been so good for so long that if you feel pretty good that he's going to carry that form into the postseason. And you know, we've been doing the show for a number of years now. We always talk about the betting decision that you can make, which is if I think that this team is going to win the Stanley Cup, that means that this guy almost automatically needs to win the Conn Smythe. And while logic would dictate that would be Soros for the Predators, I actually think Josi is that guy. So if you do believe the Predators have a chance to really pull a stunner here, Josi at 100-1 to win the Conn Smythe is definitely something to keep in mind. He'd be the Predator I would target in the Conn Smythe market.
Very, very juicy. I think patience, weirdly enough, could be a virtue in terms of betting series prices. And I credit you for getting me on this a couple years back. But like, would you almost advise people to like wait and see, you know, after the first couple games to like course correct on how they feel about respective series?
Yeah. I think that's a strategy you always want to keep in mind. And there are certain series that just beg for that. I think the Islanders Hurricanes one is definitely one that I would much rather sit back and watch it unfold. Because, like I said, we don't really know just how far the Islanders can take this thing. And there's a possibility their ceiling hasn't been scratched yet. Like they've been playing better and improving, it seems like, week over week. But the same can be said about the Hurricanes. So, like, we just really don't know the gap between those two teams. And I'd much rather want to see, you know, the first couple games. And maybe the Islanders are up 2-1 in you know, a tight series and you can buy back in on the Hurricanes, or vice versa. You think, oh man, I can get the Islanders down 2-1, but they've been playing a lot better than people thought, and now they're a huge number because they're behind in the series. Like you're looking at an interesting situation. So that series for sure. The other one, which look, it's not settled yet, but that Edmonton Vegas series, I think as well. I just want to see where this Oilers team is at. They've had such a peculiar season with that horrible start, then the 16 or 17 game, whatever it was, winning streak through the winter. They slowed down a bit, obviously. McDavid gets banged up, but he's McDavid. And the Knights as well, like it's been a pendulum swing for them. I would say that if Vegas opens in that series, if those two teams play and Vegas is an underdog of like plus 115 or more, I would be interested in them. But I also think that's another series where you can probably just sit back, wait, see how these two teams actually are matching up against one another. Where the goaltenders are at and make your decision there.
I'm very interested in Vegas, regardless of who they play, just to, you know, extend that series. You could say Vegas against either Edmonton or Dallas to go seven, something like that. Like, if one of those teams faces them, it's not going to be easy. We know that from years past. I'm looking at the Conn Smythe Trophy odds board, and McDavid is the favorite at plus 1,000, but some really interesting numbers here. Jake Oettinger plus 2,000, that could happen if Dallas goes all the way. Kucherov plus 3,500. Matthew Tkachuk plus 2,000. Those are all guys that have been playoff performers before, I guess with the exception of Oettinger, who's coming off an underwhelming postseason last year. But a lot to prove here and unfinished business for the Stars, I think.
Yeah, this is where that strategy comes in, right? Like, you want to think about who you like to make a run, and if they do, does it directly correlate with a particular player? So we always use the Igor Shesterkin example from a couple years ago, right? Like, if the Rangers were going to win a Stanley Cup 3 years ago, it was almost certainly going to be because Igor just was lights out and was a shoe-in to win this award. And that meant, okay, if the Rangers are 20-1 to win the Stanley Cup that year, whatever they were, and Igor was 50-1, I'd much rather take my shot with the Igor bet. I actually think that there's less of that this year for a couple reasons. One, bookmakers get smarter with each passing day, each passing season. I think that they are pretty well aware of this strategy now. I also think that the goaltending, it's usually mostly related to goalies, and we're seeing like so many teams, the Bruins, the Islanders, the Hurricanes, maybe, like, we're going to see a lot of teams play more than one goalie in the playoffs, which is another trend. I think, like, you can definitely make this strategy or work the strategy out with a few goalies. Connor Hellebuck for sure. I'd much rather bet Connor Hellebuck to win the Conn Smythe at 35-1 than the Jets to win the Stanley Cup at their odds, because they're shorter. But I do have a few flyers on the Conn Smythe market that I would love to get out there. You can find Brent Burns at 180-1. My colleague Tim Kalinowski was the one who kind of first tipped off on this one. I think that Burns is definitely an interesting one, especially if Carolina wins the Stanley Cup. They have such a by-committee approach that you'll likely see the voters just lean towards the player with the best story. That certainly could be Burns. I like Charlie McAvoy, too. He's triple digits out there at 100-1. The Bruins, you'd think that David Pastrnak would be the guy because the goalies will split the starts, and Pastrnak and will likely lead them in goals and put up a pretty big total if they make a Stanley Cup run. But with think about the path that the Bruins have to go on, right? Toronto, who's going to, can McAvoy shut down Matthews, Marner, and that high profile offense? If it's Florida, kind of a similar story with their big guns, Tampa, Kucherov, Point, etc. So all of a sudden, if the Bruins get through that Atlantic bracket, there's going to be so much focus paid to the job that McAvoy was able to do. So he's starting to build himself a narrative. And then out west, there's a few, like I said earlier, Roman Josi for sure is one that I would be interested in. I think that Hellebuck is definitely worth a look if you're someone who thinks the Jets can go deep. And then there's a couple a lot deeper that you got to, with any long shot, obviously, you got to start to squint to see the value. But I think Alex Georgiev could be a really interesting story. You think about McKinnon and all those guys, but the Avalanche, if they spread things around a bit and Georgiev is able to just get hot and be the goalie to ride, it's there for him. So I think that there is a path for him at triple digits. Of course, it's unlikely. That's why he is this deep. And then on the Vegas side, we saw Jonathan Marchessault win it last year. Basically, just had a terrific scoring stretch. But I think now, with the way that their blue line is set up, a lot more attention is going to be paid to that blue line. I think Alex Petrangelo or Shea Theodore, they're both 125-150-1, are interesting shouts on the Vegas side.
Yeah, there's just so many moving parts. Like, even if you feel strongly about Edmonton, I would advise people not to bet on, like, Drysdale to win the Conn Smythe. Like, if Edmonton goes to the Stanley Cup and wins the Cup, it's going to be Connor McDavid, and I think therein lies the value. I just would think along those lines. You talk about the Atlantic Division, Lieboff. I think it's wide open. It's weird to say, but I wonder if there could be value on the Maple Leafs in that series price when you take on the Boston Bruins. The one thing I will be betting is seven games. The one thing I've gathered about the Maple Leafs, yeah, they don't win in the playoffs. They don't win in the first round usually, but they usually go seven games, albeit they win last year in six. against Tampa, but I'd probably play the 7-game price in that series for Boston and Toronto. And I would love to get your thoughts too on the Battle of Florida. Like, I don't think the Tampa Bay Lightning are getting enough respect. And in the back of my mind, guys, I just have that constant storyline about how much hockey Florida and Vegas respectively have played in the last year alone.
So I'll start with that Florida series because my thoughts, I think, it can sum up pretty quickly. This one, of all series in this tournament that are going to shake out, we kind of have an idea of the path they're going to walk down. I think this one's the only one that I've got no idea. I think it could go in a million different directions. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if this is the one where a team is down 3-1 and comes back to win, or even 3-0 and comes back to win. Like, there's going to be something with, like, the momentum and the atmospheres in these playoffs, and the fact that the Lightning are so good on the power play. The Panthers take a lot of penalties. There's so many kind of ways that this series can shake out. That makes me a little nervous to back the Panthers and just assume that they're going to walk through the door against the Lightning, which I think a lot of people do think when you look at some projections and the odds. So I would attack it that way. Just think about the million different directions this thing can go, and pick your favorite kind of long shot bet, or wait till someone goes up 3-1 and something like that. That's what I would do. As for the Toronto-Boston series, I know Nick Martin, my colleague on Line Change, really thinks that the Maple Leafs as an underdog are an interesting look. I go the other way at -125 or better because of the goaltending disparity here. Like, Swayman and Ullmark are just so good and so reliable, and it doesn't matter who it's going to be. If one guy has an off night, like, there's no problem just rotating these guys in and out. It's the opposite for the Leafs. Like, we got no idea what to expect out of either Samsonov or Wohl. They're a little banged up, it seems like. So I do think that Boston has a chance to even make this a short series. And one thing bookmakers still tend to do in best-of-seven series, especially in hockey, is underrate the extremes. So a team to win. And everyone expects this series to be close, right? Like you said, the Leafs always go to 6 or 7. It's always overtimes, et cetera. But betting against that narrative completely, it might not win, but it'll provide you with some good numbers.
+145 Tampa Bay Lightning to defeat the Florida Panthers. They've beaten them in each of the past two series in the postseason. They've kind of been the thorn in their side. The narrative and the storyline changes a little bit because Florida's been the better team over the past calendar year, but still, when I can look at a series and say, like, this could be a toss-up, and you see that type of value on Tampa compared to, you know, I think, like, the fact that the Toronto-Boston series price reflects a toss-up, whereas Tampa is a more significant underdog. Like, I'm gravitating towards Tampa if I was going to pick.
Yeah, and that makes sense with the chaos, you know, that I was saying. Like, you'd much rather be on the side of the underdog if things are expected to go off the rails. The one other bet I do like in that Bruins series to get out there real quick is I like Brad Marchand to lead it in scoring, in goals, I should say. He's 17-1. He's got to beat a pretty prolific pack in Matthews, Pastrnak, Nylander, etc. But he's just so good in the playoffs. He's got, like, what, 32 goals in his last 4 playoffs or something like that, or 32 total. It's something crazy where he's scoring basically a goal every other game. The Bruins have played 14 playoff games in their last 2 seasons, and Marchand has 8 goals. So he's someone who kind of thrives in these environments, and I think with all the attention that will be paid towards Pastrnak, could have a little bit more space to operate. So I like Marchand as a long shot in that market.
Let's talk strategy now, game by game, if you'd like. Any series that you look at right now and say, hey, I'm attacking a certain thing, whether it be the under or the over or any prop like that, and maybe tie that into some exotics you're looking at.
Sure. I think that the Rangers and Capitals series, you talked about it being a dead under series. I actually would take it one step further. I think you're going to get a lot of value on backing these games to go to overtime because of the way the Capitals play. They're going to want to keep this thing as tight as possible, limit as much space as possible, stay out of the box, really keep the Rangers from getting being able to engage in that back and forth rush kind of battle that they thrive in. And also, like, if the Capitals do happen to go ahead 2-0, like, the Rangers are the best team in the league at erasing those leads, whether it's in the first, second, or third period. Like, this is a team that can come back from any deficit in the blink of an eye. So I think that I'll be looking to bet those games to go to overtime, and you'll probably catch some decent numbers because the odds are so wide that, you know, the correlation would be that, oh, the Rangers are expected to win this game by, you know, two goals. That that means that it's pretty hard for the bookmakers to imagine it sticking close to being an overtime game. So I'll look at that. The Oilers Knights series, I think, would be an under series because you'll see some big numbers because it's the Oilers. But with the way Vegas goes and what I expect out of that series, if it is a matchup, to be pretty tight and physical. So I do think, especially early on, that's one to look at as an under series as well. And we haven't really touched too much on the Dallas Stars, but I think that, like, their young players are going to fly under the radar, but still, in terms of just like the anytime goal market. So, you know, Wyatt Johnson. I mean, the secret's out on these guys, but like Johnson and Stankoven, et cetera. Like, I think that those guys should be interesting in terms of leading those series and goals.
Mike, I know you're an advanced stats guy and you always look at 5-on-5 production and where it may fall under the radar in the general storylines. Like, I look at the Winnipeg Jets as a very well-structured team that could translate to the postseason. They're +110 underdogs against the Colorado Avalanche, who won the Cup just two seasons ago. But that matchup just strikes me as, like, the better goaltending is on Winnipeg's side. The more structured team is Winnipeg. How do you handicap that series based on where the number's at right now?
Yeah, this is one, another one, like where Nick said, you can probably wait. I think that this is a type of series where I'll have Colorado circle to come back. Nobody likes where their game's at right now, but we know that they can just turn it around pretty quickly. And I'm not even going to look at what's going on in tonight's Oilers Avalanche game and let that, unless there's an injury, of course, like deter my thinking. I think that the Avalanche can easily erase a 2-0 lead in a series. They can erase a 3-1 lead in a series. So that's a team that I'm going to be looking to. I'm going to be looking to bet if they go behind in a best of seven, whether it's against Winnipeg, whether it's in the next round, whoever, wherever it is. So that's my general thoughts. I do think the line looks about right going into game one with Colorado as a slight favorite, even without home ice.
You can actually get on Bet365. You could bet on the Avalanche to win from behind +260. So a much longer number than the current series price. Are you going that route? Because honestly, like, I don't know that the number is going to be that big if they say lose game one to Winnipeg.
Exactly.
So it's an interesting angle.
Yep. I like that prop a lot in that series, especially. I think that, and the same goes with that Lightning series. Like, if you like the Panthers, maybe just bet them to win behind because you can easily see them. You know, game ones have plenty of noise and variance to them. So that's a good shout.
Yeah, Winnipeg, Colorado is tough to handicap, even from like an over-under perspective, where I think if Winnipeg wins, the majority of those games, I think, are going to be low scoring, whereas Colorado usually wins with its offense. And it's intriguing you brought up the name Alexander Georgiev, because I think he's a big-time X-factor. If he can do his thing, I mean, Colorado's going to be a juggernaut. Which leads us to our Stanley Cup picks. Pete and I disclosed ours on the NHL Fantasy Podcast, so make sure to check that out. But I did take Colorado. So I threw everything I saw the last couple weeks out the window. I believe in that team. I think Casey Mittelstadt is a big-time sleeper, an X-factor for that team. They need everybody to produce and pull their weight. But who are some of the teams that you have tickets on here, and who do you think is going to win the Cup?
I have a couple futures on. I have one on the Oilers that was worked out because I parlayed it with a Hideki Matsuyama to win the Genesis Open. So that's a pretty big ticket. So I'll definitely be rooting for the Oilers to come out of the West. But if I was sitting here with a blank slate right now, the two teams I would look to back, one from each conference, I think the Boston Bruins are really interesting still. Like, I think that they are so good on the back end. They're so good in goal, and they've got the high-end talent needed. I know people are going to point to the centers, but they've gone all season and been fine. So I've got no issue there to keep me off. I don't think that the Bruins are getting as much respect. I would have them right up there with the Panthers, Rangers, as like the second favorite behind Carolina. So I think there's a smidge of value still on the Bruins out there, whether you want to like just make a rolling parlay with them series by series, because they'd likely be an underdog to Florida and then to Carolina, if that's the path that they have to go. You can probably get more value than just betting the straight up conference odds right now. And then out of the West, man, my pick, if odds aside, I think the Dallas comes out of it. But if we're incorporating odds, I think you can still make a case for Winnipeg at 6-1 with the goalie. They got a terrible path, right? Like, I know that getting through Colorado and then getting through Dallas is really brutal, but with the goaltending that they have, it becomes a little bit easier to see. And if they are able to get through those two series, then all of a sudden you're like, well, they've already done kind of the hard bit. So why not think that this team can make a run? So Boston and Winnipeg, maybe I'll just make that my Stanley Cup prediction, is the Jets versus Bruins in maybe the weirdest looking Stanley Cup final we'll ever see.
I actually like Boston. Like, if Tampa pulls the upset of Florida and Boston takes care of business based on history, I could very well see Boston, after they lost in the first round last year, go to the conference final at least. I mean, I think they have a pretty high floor in that Atlantic bracket. You agree, Nick?
Yeah, I think it's wide open here in the Atlantic Division. There's just so many different scenarios and possibilities, and I think that's what makes it fun this time of year. So, Leboff, just a quick recap. I mean, what are a couple things that you really, really like betting-wise, and we'll get out of here?
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to be betting the Islanders in Game 1. Against the Hurricanes, I'm going to be looking to back the overtime in Game 1 in Washington and the Rangers. Those are probably my two, maybe going to be my only two Game 1 bets. I think the Bruins on the series price at minus 125 or better is fine. In terms of Conn Smythe, we went over a few of them. I'll just reiterate, like Yossi at 100-1, McAvoy at 100-1, Brent Burns 180-1 is definitely something to consider. If you like the Rangers, I think Adam Fox, you can find him in some pretty big numbers, is definitely worth a look there. That's what I'm looking at now. Probably have some more. You can, of course, you know, follow some of this in the Action Network app or on Line Change, our hockey betting podcast over at Action Network. We go over our portfolios in pretty deep detail, and we have our Eastern Conference preview up. We'll have our Western one done for tomorrow morning. But yeah, that's where I'm looking at now. And of course, I've got like my future tickets on the Islanders and Oilers, so I'm rooting pretty drastically for.
One bet I saw that I really like, plus 350 on Gensel to lead the series in points, I believe, against the Islanders. Just think back to all these years, right, of Carolina going deep in the playoffs but not really having that much scoring pop other than Sebastian Aho. He's been playing on Aho's line, so I think that's really likely when you consider the Hurricanes will probably win that series, and I think he'll probably win the points battle when it's all said and done against New York.
I like it. Just go check out Jake Gensel's Hockey DB page, and you'll find out everything you need to know about this guy in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I know Crosby's not there, but certainly the first game of that series, I'm looking at Gensel for props, whether it's shots or anytime goals. But just a reminder to everybody listening right now, we'll have one of these betting previews for each round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So looking forward to that. It is go time, my friends. Can't wait for the next Action Network collaboration and Line Change. Many thanks to producer Bob Bender, of course, Pete Jensen, Michael Leboff. I'm Nick Alberga. This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19. Available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
It's never